you are a great, great God. Forgive us. We try to put you into our mind, and we fail to honor you, to obey you. Father, this morning you remind us that you're bigger than we were taught. Thank you, Father. And you send your only Son to die on the cross to forgive our sin. This morning, as we sit down and we listen to your word, Father, give us peace so we can understand your word and we can live in your purpose. Thank you, Father. Your promises never fail, and we are so grateful for that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, and we honored to be your son and daughter. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So last week, my daughter Ruth, she shared about the battle with unbelief. And today I want to share the battle of the offspring. So next week, we celebrate Easter. And Apostles Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. I repeat again, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. Our faith is useless and we are still in our sin. The story of crucifixion and the resurrection is the most significant event in the history of mankind. The gospel story of Jesus is not simple a great story or Sunday school story. It is a true story and it happened. The witnesses said they saw Jesus. They touched him. He was arose. This proves that the kingdom of God is real and has won the victory over darkness. The fact of the resurrection of Jesus is not merely a great story to read, but it has life-changing power if we believe. So this morning, I try to take you step by step to the curse of God who announced the curse on the serpent, the battle between the offspring. I start again with the seduction of the serpent, like last week, Ruth says. We look at the word of God and the serpent, what the serpent told Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, that is the original word God's command to Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge and of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then I compare to the Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. You can compare the word of God and the word of the serpent. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. That's true. But God said, that is again the that is the word of Eve. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. In the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You can compare the word of God and the word of Eve. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent's evil intention was to deceive Adam and Eve in thinking that God was unjust and false. He was calling God's word into question. The serpent strategy since the Garden of Eden until now, they use the same strategy. The serpent plays with our mind, he plays with our heart, and then it causes disobedience in our will. That is the three strategy the serpent, our enemy, always use. And with the mind of Eve, he said, do you believe? He said to the to Eve, did he actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? He twisted God's word. You shall not surely die. And that make Eve confused, doubt with the word of God, and question the word of God. And then with the Eve, continue. When Eve saw the fruit of the forbidden tree, it looks good. And she desires to get the wisdom about good and evil that is against God's word. That is the evil desire that serpent put into Eve's heart. And then continue. At the end, Eve took the fruit and ate the fruit. And she was disobedient to God's word. This is the strategy of the serpent, our enemy. He always plays with our mind. When we pray about something, our parent, our circumstances, our problem, he whispers in our ears, do you really think that God will answer your prayers? How long have you been prayed for? Now, the circumstances is still the same, never change. Would you continue to pray? And then, with our heart, he plays. He arouses evil desire. I'm going to solve my problem with my own strength. That's why some people, they will leave the life group, left the ministry, or left the church. They will be disobedient to God. This is the strategy of the serpent. When the serpent talked to Eve, Adam was with Eve. Adam should have detected the lie in the serpent's twisting God's word. he should have recognized the evil suggestion from the serpent. He should crush the head of the serpent. But instead, he and Eve listened to the serpent by eating the fruit of the forbidden tree. That means Adam and Eve transferred their allegiance, their loyalty, their commitment to the serpent. And they rebelled against God. But our God is a merciful God. He did not kill Adam and Eve and create a new human. Instead, God came in grace, seeking out Adam and Eve, covering Adam and Eve, and announcing a curse on the serpent. He was protecting them to make a false peace with the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, that is the curse that God announced on the serpent. Because you have done this, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and thus you shall eat all the day of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The Hebrew word offspring, they use the word seed. Seed means is a masculine. The offspring of the woman is a male. He is going to crush the serpent's head. And it is as if God turns to Adam and Eve, who has rebelled against him and rejected his good gifts, and say, I'm going to war. But not against you, Adam and Eve. I'm going to war on your behalf against your enemy. Oh, God is a merciful God. As if he said to Adam and Eve, I'm going to war, but not against you, even though you rebelled me. I'm going to war on your behalf against your enemy. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Our God, his word has power to bless, and his word has the power to curse. This is our God. He promised that one day a baby will be born, a descendant of the woman who will do the job of Adam, crushing the head of the serpent. Then we see Genesis chapter 4 that started with the conflict between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. The first war of the offspring, the conflict started with Adam and Eve's first descendant. Cain murdered his brother Abel because God loved Abel. Abel sacrifice offering, the best offering for God. But Cain was jealous to Abel, and he murdered his own brother. It shows that although Eve is the physical mother of Cain and Abel, in a spiritual sense, only Abel is the offspring of Adam and Eve. Cain is the spiritual offspring of the serpent. This ongoing battle And the threat to the offspring of woman are recorded as the significant sins in the Old Testament. If you read the whole Old Testament, always you can see the battle. When a famine that threatened the lives of Jacob's family, Jacob's 12 sons fled to Egypt, where they were grain. 400 years later, they become slaves in Egypt. The offspring of the woman was an enmity with the offspring of the serpent. Pharaoh is the offspring of the serpent. Pharaoh had a serpent on his headdress. Pharaoh was determined to destroy the offspring of the woman. He told the midwife to kill every male baby born to Hebrew women. He instructed all the Hebrew male children to be thrown into the Nile River. But one Hebrew boy floated his way to Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him up. Moses will be the one who delivered the offspring of the woman out of Egypt. Years later, against the battle between the Philistine and the offspring of the woman, David. The battle with the David, and David used a small stone and slingshot and crushed the head of the Goliath. When the offspring of the woman was sent into exile, in the book of Esther you can read, one day Haman tried to kill all the Jews in exile, but God used Esther to conquer Haman. And Haman was put to death. As we see, there is the conflict and the battle between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. The next step, we come to see the coming of the offspring of the woman. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. This is easy to remember. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This is Jesus. When the serpent whispers in your ears, will he really hear your prayer? This is the answer. When the fullness of time had come, God will answer your prayer, not in our time, but in his time. His promises never fail, although it went through hundreds of years. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. When we read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, that is the genealogy of Jesus. From Abraham descendants to Jesus. When we look at the First Chronicle, chapter 1, verse 1 to 27, it was written about the genealogy of Abraham, the descendants of Adam until Abraham, and then Abraham to Jesus. Jesus is the descendant of Adam and Eve, the descendant of the woman. Paul puts it this way so we can see the connection between the birth of Jesus and the promise God had made in the Eden. Soon after Jesus was born, Herod the king told the wise men to let him know where Jesus was because he wanted to kill Jesus. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to flee to Egypt. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the end, he was constantly in battle against the power of darkness. I repeat again. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the end, he was constantly in battle against the power of darkness. When we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 33 to 34. Luke chapter 4, 33 to 34. When Jesus was in the synagogue, there was a man with the spirit of unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God. Even the devil or the Satan recognize Jesus is the Son of God. He is going to destroy them." The Jews in Jesus' day was physically Abraham descendants, but spiritually they were serpents of spring. Then we see the next step after the coming of this of the offspring of the woman. Then we see at the next one the crushing, the projector, the crushing of the offspring of the woman. The next one, the crushing of the offspring of the woman. When we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 3, then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. Satan went into Judas' heart, and Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus was being seized by the soldier, and after many trials, Jesus was sent to be crucified. This is the climax of the battle, the most deadly as well as the most life-giving battle of all time. When we look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, crush the serpent. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong this day. He will on the will of the Lord shall prosper in Jesus' hand." Acts chapter 2, 23, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan of foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hand of lawless men." This is the preaching or the sermon of Peter. You, that means all the Jews, the spiritual offspring of the serpent. Once I have read a writer how he researched how was Jesus died on the cross. It was not an easy death for Jesus. When Jesus was crucified, they crowned him with a crown of thorn. When we went to Israel, the thorn is not like a rose's thorn. The thorn is very big, very long, and very thick. And then they spit on him. They struck him on his head. They beat him and humiliated him. And Isaiah says, even we cannot recognize his face, full of blood and wound. And this writer says, Because of when Jesus crucified on the cross. Because of the gravity law, all the blood flow into his lower body part. And it's time for him to take a breath. He has to push all his body upward in order the blood flow into his lung so that he can get the oxygen. And it was very painful and struggle for him until he took his last breath on the cross. When I remember this story, when I was discouraged, I always remember this story and I cry. I remember he never fail us. The will of the Lord was to be accomplished through the suffering of Christ on the cross. Now we get into the next point, the crushing of the offspring of the serpent. When Jesus died on the cross, the offspring of the serpent, of course, they were very, very pleased and very happy because they thought they defeated Jesus, the Son of God. But after 3 days, this is the end of the serpent. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. We see, we read from the John. John writes these verses. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. John saw the death and the resurrection from Jesus in relation to the story of the serpent and the offspring of the woman. Then Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross and he rise again, he crushed the head of the serpent. He crushed the head of the serpent. That is the promise of God. Ever since the Garden of Eden, God had a purpose so that the serpent's existence and opposition would fulfill his divine plan for all of us. Genesis chapter 3, 15, again, I repeat, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. When Jesus died on the cross, he's suffering on the cross because of our sin. The serpent strike Jesus' heel. But Jesus crushed the serpent head. That is our victory. Amen. There will be no striking or bruising of our heel anymore because Jesus Christ had taken all the bruising upon himself on the cross. Amen. Mark chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus says to the paralytic, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin because he died on the cross. Amen. For our sin. As a result of the fall, we are all were to experience eternal death. Through the crushing of the head of the serpent, by the offspring of the woman, Jesus Christ, we will not and cannot perish. even though we will lose our life, or the enemy might win a battle or two in our lives, he cannot and will not win the battle of our soul. He cannot have us as his own for eternity. Jesus was not protected so that you and I will be protected forever. The day will come when the serpent's tail will no longer weeping, when Jesus crushed the head of the serpent, only his tail is weeping around, looking for victim. But John said, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, the devil will have deceived them. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. All the offspring of serpent will be forever bound in the second coming of Jesus. Now we still have his tail looking for victim. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowl around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Only the tail, the head has been crushed by Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, resist him, Peter says, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We know now that we are in the midst of spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 say, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against the ruler, against the authority, against the cosmic powers over the presence of darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And Paul say in Ephesians chapter 6, 13 to 17, we have to put on the full armor of God because of the tail. The full armor of God, including the truth, we have to read our Bible. We have to have faith in order we are going to the battle. For us, enable us to going to the battle, we need our faith. Before I come to a conclusion, a question people ask, or we always ask this question. If God knew that Adam and Eve would fall into sin, why did God create them in the first place? I repeat again the question, and it's a very common question. If God knew that Adam and Eve would fall into sin, why did God create them in the first place? The answer is because he wanted to show us that he is a loving, merciful, and gracious God. The serpent was once an angel of God. And how sin had aroused in his heart, we do not know. God permitted Satan's fall and his opposition, not because he was helpless to stop it, but because he had a purpose to fulfill his divine plan for us, for his people. He wants us to know and experience the Creator's love and purpose in our lives. He wants to have an intimate fellowship with us. Our Creator longs for an intimate relationship and fellowship with us. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, will be more highly honored in the end because he defeated the serpent through long suffering, humility, patience, servanthood, and even death, rather through raw power. Do God design a world in which evil and rebellion are possible. He did not create those things. But he clearly rule over all evil and darkness. So in this way, we need him in our life. Apart from God's grace and mercy, we will be forever in enmity with him instead of with the evil one. My conclusion. The good news of the gospel is found in the story of the offspring. Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, while we were enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of grace is enmity with the serpent and peace with our God, which are made possible by the suffering of the woman's offspring, Jesus Christ, on the cross. As reality of the battle between the offspring and the woman, between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent, work through our thinking and our emotion, it has the power to fill us with courage to face the worst of the world. It has power. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in us. The power of resurrection lives in us. Therefore, we celebrate Easter. And the divine life in us is eternal. It will not die, and the divine life will always strive for righteousness, for that is its nature. So for us, it's not with our strength, but with his strength, we can strive for righteousness in our life. The entrance of death into the world is through Adam. And the entry of eternal life is through the work of Jesus Christ. The condemnation of Adam was based on one sin. But the justification of God's answer, not only for that one sin, but for all many sins that was committed through the ages since Adam. The happy ending of the historical resurrection is so enormous and tremendous that it beats the sorrow on the cross. The gospel is the ultimate story that shows victory coming out of defeat, strength coming out of weakness, life coming out of death, and rescue from abandonment. And because it is true story, it gives us hope. It can be your story as well. God made you to love him dearly, but he lost you. He was determined to get you back, but it took the cross. May the Spirit of God who lives in you give you hope. God bless you.
Church, let us all stand up on our feet.
I know your thoughts, your plans for me are good. I know you hold my future. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises. Your plans for me are good. I know you hold my future and my hope. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail.
We believe
your promises never fail.
We as a church, we want to pray for you today. We just want to allow in our services for you to dedicate your life to Jesus if you've never done it before. And even if you have just problems, if you're facing circumstances or challenges, we want to pray for you. Because God is here. And He's listening to every voice. He's listening to every voice that you have in your heart. Why don't you close your eyes now? Every head bowed. Just close your hand now. Close your eyes. God has a plan for us. And if today you've been hearing the word and God has been talking to you, has been speaking to your heart, and there's a nudge and He's prompting you to give your life to Him, I'd like to pray for you. 20 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. Right in this place. And my life has never been the same again. It's never been the same again. He turned my life around. And I have never regretted. And the same thing with you guys. He's got a plan full of hope and future that is laid down before you. If only you want to know Him. Now in the count of three, I'm not calling you up front. No, no. Every eye closed. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand quickly or put your hands in your hearts if you want me to pray for you. Because Romans 10:9 says this, church. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be safe. In the count of three. With confidence. Don't be afraid. He's here. I've done it before and I never look back. In the count of three, just slip your hands and put it down quickly or just put it in your hearts. 1, 2, 3. Just quickly. I see your hands. I see your hands. Just put it down. Put it in your hearts. If you still don't have the courage to lift it up, just put it in your hearts. I see you. I see you. And God is seeing all this. He's witnessing all this. And the angels is rejoicing. Your life will never be the same again. In Christ alone. Let me invite everyone. Everyone. Not just those who lift your hands. Let's just pray together with me. Together. Dear Lord. I confess my sin before you. And now I want to confess that you are my Lord. That you are my Savior. You were raised from the dead and you conquered death. For once and for all. I declare that you are my King. Teach me your way and that I may know you. Give me the desire to know your words. And I believe my life will never be the same again. Why don't we rejoice, church? Just give Him a big applause of our hands. Yes, Lord. And now, our life is a constant battle. Everybody has a burden. We as a church, we want to pray for you. Just come up front. Just run as quickly as you can. Just come up front. We're going to pray quickly before we close. Just come up front. Anybody who wants you to pray for sickness or health, yes, just come along. Church, just run quickly. Oh, come on, just run. Yes, I'm giving it time. Thank you so much. Church, come on. Only if you, I believe that God is able to do everything and anything beyond your circumstances. Amen. But you know, when we become Christian, we become a problem. But when you have boldness, you become a big threat to the enemy. And you know, sometimes circumstances will try to shrink you down to lack of confidence, will shrink you down to your problems. But God is giving you boldness, not a spirit of fear, but of love. Amen. Or anybody just want to lift your hands if you have any problems? Okay. Let me just pray for you. Father, we put our trust in you. Thank you for your love, because you said that your grace is enough for us. And I believe that your grace will sustain us through the wind of life, through circumstances. And you will give us boldness and courage to trust you, to believe in you. Because we will see beyond our circumstances, we'll see beyond our challenges, but we will see you. We'll look at you, I'll turn our eyes on you. Say you see you face to face, Lord. We lift our hands in surrender. And we surrender our life into your hands. We'll allow you to do your will according to your desire. Church, why don't you lift up your hands and I pray for you. Go and be a disciple and disciple the nations. Be a blessing wherever you go. Let your cup overflows. May God's protections be upon you. He will give you peace beyond understanding. Let the Holy Spirit empower you to do His mission. Let the love of the Father sustain you for now and forevermore. Why don't we give Him a big shout of praise, Jesus? Have a great Sunday, church. One more time for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Church, only for this Friday, 9:30 and 11:30. We've never been doing this for a tabernacle feast. I invited Pastor Barry last year. I booked him to do a tabernacle feast. We will celebrate communion according to Jewish tradition. Okay? Friday, 9:30, 11:30. I'm looking forward to see you. Looking forward to have communion together with the Jewish people. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.